Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome back to a study in the living word. Praise God. This is message number 17 in our study. And today's title is The Abiding Word Always Brings Forth Fruit. And that's a statement we need to realize. The abiding word always brings forth fruit. Father, we thank you for this study today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together before your throne. We're thankful, Father, for the seed of the word planted in our hearts that will bring forth fruit. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for a sensitive heart, hearing ears, and seeing eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's get started. I'm going to make this statement again. The abiding word always brings forth fruit. But now let's qualify that a little bit. Whatever is abiding in your heart will bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Whatever is abiding there. What do I mean by that? I mean that whatever is in your heart, whatever you have placed there, will bring forth harvest for good or for evil. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you put in your heart, not what God puts in your heart. Your heart condition is up to you, not up to God. It's up to you what you put in your heart, what you meditate on, what you study. The abiding word will always bring forth fruit. If you want God's word to abide and to live and to bring forth harvest, you have to put it in your heart. It's just the way it is. You have to get into the word. You have to study the word. You have to believe the word.
Amen.
Last week in the main service, the title of the message was God's Living Word, Absolute Life, Absolute Truth.
Yeah.
That God's Word is absolute life. I have to activate it. It's absolute truth, whether I activate it or not.
Yeah.
God's Word is always truth. But where I'm concerned, I have to activate that truth for it to bring life to me. Mm-hmm. Life is contained in the seed of the Word. Mother taught on that in the Bible study last week. The sower sows the seed. And Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God.
Amen.
And God and His Word are one. The absolute seed of the Word will always bring forth harvest. I have to harvest it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the seed of the enemy provides that we agree with and we activate in our life. That also will bring forth fruit.
Yeah, bad fruit.
It's for that. I'm the one that determines that. We're going to start in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. So keep that in mind. Whatever is abiding will bring forth fruit, for good or evil. Luke 6, 43. For a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. What does he speak? He speaks words.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus is pointing to this. The seed that you're planting is the words of your mouth.
Mm.
Whatever you're saying, if you don't want to harvest in what you're saying, don't say it. Just because you think it doesn't even make it your own thought. There's a lot of thoughts out there that don't belong to us. Television sees to that. Our friends and our enemies see to that. There's all kinds of wrong thoughts out there, and we just walking down the street, rejoicing, having a good time, and all of a sudden, boom, we walk into a thought. It's there. That doesn't make it my thought. The enemy tries to get me to think on his words,
right,
on his thoughts. He wants me to activate a seed by my actions and by what I say. when I walk into that thought or that thought appears, maybe it's from the old dead man that's no longer alive in me. I'm a new creation in Christ. Maybe my brain accessed some old thought by a smell happened or something that happened or I seen something that activated an old thought. Oh no, I've sinned again. No, you haven't. You haven't sinned until you act on that.
Right.
When you act on that thought in some way, or when you speak it, now you own it. Now it's going to bring forth fruit. And it's going to bring forth fruit.
Well, you can entertain thoughts, because Jesus said if you look at somebody and think about it.
Yes. So you got to guard it. What did he say? Take every thought captive.
Right.
The minute that comes up, you say, that's not my thought. I think on these things. For it is written. See, if you don't take action, that thought will lay there and start bringing forth a harvest. They start immediately. We have to deal with them. We can't just say, oh well, and go on down the road. We have a responsibility to guard what's in the garden of our heart.
Amen.
And if we don't do that, now we all have weaknesses. All of us do. Somebody knows how to push our buttons. Well, we need to know how to push Satan's buttons.
That's right.
The way you push his is to bring the word into play.
Amen.
He does not like that. He's allergic to the word. He can't handle the word. But I got to believe it, and I got to bring it to bear. He fires thought darts at my mind, while I fire missiles of the word at him.
Amen.
My gun is bigger than his.
Amen.
But I got to use it.
That's right.
If I don't lift up that shield should never go down. But I should hold that shield of faith up at all times. And that dart's supposed to strike there. But if I'm not holding my shield of faith up, it has excess if I don't watch it. So then I've got to get rid of it. That means I instantly deal with it. Whatever I'm doing, I deal with the thought. It's because you think it, that's my point. Does not make it your thought until you act on it in some way. Even when you act on it, you can still deal with it.
Right.
Father, I repent. I allowed that thought to take to guide me and to hinder me. I repent of that. Father, I treat it as a sin, and I cast a care of that on you, and I thank you for the washing of the water by the word.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus that washes and cleanses me. I take that thought captive right now in the name of Jesus, for it is written. Take every thought captive, and I take it captive unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the obedience of the word. That thought then has to bow to the word. I have to enforce it. So remember, whatever is abiding will bring forth fruit for good or evil if I allow it to abide.
Right.
It has to abide in order to bring forth the fruit.
Amen.
It is out of the abundance of the heart. So this guy's been putting a lot of stuff into his heart.
Right.
He hadn't taken anything captive. He keeps doing the same thing, keeps working on the same thing, keeps meditating, keeps speaking, keeps acting on the same thing. So it's natural there's a harvest coming.
Amen.
Even if it's been there a while, I can still deal with it. It's just a little harder to deal with. But I can still deal with it in the same way. John 15:7, we talked about a couple weeks ago. And we're going to talk about it again when we go all the way through most of John 15 later in this.
Hello.
Later in this series, we'll be going through John 15. But for right now, we're just going to focus on John 15:7. Amplified Classic again. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in detail, but it said the word if qualifies the whole verse.
Regular John.
Yeah.
You need to watch for words that qualify. And I keep mentioning it because somebody's going to hear this that hasn't heard it before, whether it be on Facebook or whatever. The word if is a vital word. It's one of the biggest words in language. If is a qualifier. If means it's conditional. If means I have to act on it. Okay? So it says, if you live in me. So how do I live in him? First of all, I have to be born again. I have to. He's got to be my Savior. But if he lives in me, he's also my Lord.
Amen.
So Lord and Savior. Okay? So he says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me. In other words, if I'm vitally united, I'm adhered to him.
Amen.
We're together. Where I go, he goes. Where he goes, I go. We're one. The way Jesus prayed in John 17. That's what he's talking about. Abide vitally united. I'm not, even though I'm saved and born again, I still can be up one minute and down the next. What it says, if I'm abiding vitally united to him, I'm like this, where God's concerned and where the Word's concerned. Everything conforms to the Word. Everything I filter through my love walk. I am committed to my life with God. I'm abiding vitally united to me. And when something comes in to hinder that abiding, the Holy Spirit instantly lets me know. Even if I overlook it and don't realize it, the Holy Spirit is there. I'm in tune with the voice of the Father. So I'm dealing with what is hindering me in some way that I may not recognize. Because I'm abiding vitally united to me, to Him. If I'm not abiding vitally united to Him, then I'll be up one minute and down the next and I'll justify it.
Right.
Yes.
I wanted to give an example about something that happened that's just right with what you're teaching, I think. This week we got some bad news from our attorney. My husband, with all his health stuff, has had an attorney trying to get his disability. And we've been struggling for 4.5 years to get that.
Oh, wow.
And his attorney called the other day and dropped us after 4.5 years.
Oh.
So all of that just crushed me because it's only been my income and my little side jobs that I've done this whole time. And his parents helping occasionally. And it was crushing. But as soon as I was done with that, I didn't stay there long.
Praise God.
And I said, Lord, I know what this looks like. I know what you told me. I'm not disputing the facts, but here's the truth. You already knew. You've already made provision.
Oh, yes.
And I am not going to see anything else. If this is not your way, you'll make provision a different way.
Exactly right.
It took me many years of practicing what I was taught in the Word by
my
Sunday school teacher, by my pastors, by my mentors.
Yes.
Years and years. It didn't happen for me overnight.
No.
I had to practice it.
Yeah.
Practice it. That's what it takes.
And now this big thing happened, and it didn't crush me to the point when in the past, who knows?
Yes.
You know, but I give glory to God because it's absolutely true.
Amen.
His word is absolute truth.
I just wanted to get that out there.
Praise God.
Bring that to my brother and sisters and ask for prayer in that area.
Amen.
For God to show his provision however he's going to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to lift my husband up because as a man, on top of all the health things, he has to see his wife handle the finances. And he can't hardly even help around do anything.
Yes.
And so he needs, as a man, I don't know what he's going through.
Yeah.
I can empathize. So anyway, guys, I wanted to share that.
Amen.
I hope that was on point.
That's what we're talking about. It's being consistently constant. One minister said that's where the power is.
Mm-hmm.
The power lies in being consistently constant. Yes, you're going to be knocked sideways occasionally. Mm-hmm. But do you let it take you off the trail? Do you allow Satan and the circumstances of life to pull you away from the Word? Or do you get right back into the Word? If you're a student of the Word, and if you're allowing the Word to abide, then that Word will come up in the time of need. The Holy Spirit lives constantly with us. And He's the one that brings forth revelation. If I'm not doing something with what I know, if I'm not acting on it, then my spirit man, it's not that the Holy Spirit's weaker, or that the Word's weaker. It's that my spirit is not listening. It's not adhering to that. My carnal nature is more in dominion than my spirit man. And it's supposed to be the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I determine that, not God. So it's what I do with the Word. I have to abide. I had to adhere to it.
Amen.
I had to speak it and allow the seeds of the Word to come forth. I'm going to fail occasionally. If you look at, now it's pre-cross, and David didn't have what we have. But David knew this secret. If you go through the Psalms, I used to skip where he was complaining. He would be a positive here, and then said, I'm going through this, and they're after me, and I'm going through this and that, and all the negative stuff. So I'd skip that and just go to the good stuff. And one time the Lord showed me, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I realized what was happening here. David was acknowledging the condition. He wasn't claiming it. He was saying, Lord, this is where I am. He was talking to God. This is what's going on in my life. But you, Lord. There was always a but you, Lord. He always went and took the word of God and then battled with what the circumstance was. It wasn't that God didn't know the circumstance. God already knew that. But David was taking account of himself. He was taking account of where he is. And then he took account of a higher law.
Amen.
But you, Lord, you are my rock, my shield, my hope, my peace, hallelujah, my joy. He was making a quality decision. Yes, this is truth. I can't deny it's there. I'm not trying to deny it's there. But I'm adhering to the word. I know that I know that I know your word is true.
Amen.
So that's why he was able to deal with the lion, the bear, and Goliath. Because he was walking in covenant. He understood the covenant. He understood where he was in life. And that, yes, he put himself there with Bathsheba and other ways. He put himself in those places. But he owned up to it. The same way we would repent of something, he repented. So we need to take a lesson there. But that was pre-cross.
Yeah.
We need to remember that we should be further along than that. Because we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. That's why this is so important to us. We're going to go on to John 15:16 now. Remember, it's the abiding that makes the difference. Oh, I didn't finish that, did I?
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't finish that. Got sideways. I want to go back to John 15:7 for a minute, because I need, even though we've talked about it before, again, somebody will hear this that hasn't heard it before. John 15:7, Amplified Classic. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. We talked about that. And there's a conjunction word there. This is a New King James. No, it's Amplified. He says, and. What does and do? It brings two thoughts together.
Uh-huh.
In other words, there's two things happening here. In other words, I can do the one and not do the other. See, I can be vitally united to God, but not have any word in me. Not allow the word to abide. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, it shall be done for you. We like that last part. Almost every Christian knows, ask what I will and it shall be done for me. There's more to that scripture than that. Mm-hmm. There's two points there that you have that qualifies it. The word if qualifies it. And it says, if you live in me, yes, I live in the Lord. No, I'm not spending any time in the Word, so I can't ask what I will. I can try. Why can't that? Why won't that work? It doesn't work because the Word is not living in me, for one thing. And another thing is, the seed's not there, I can't activate it because I'm not receiving it. The other thing is, I'm not going to be accurate. And I'm going to see it through my carnal nature. So I'm not going to be accurate. I'm not going to be spiritually minded. In order to be spiritually minded, I have to have the word abiding in me.
Amen.
It says this, people perish for lack of knowledge. Yeah.
Yes. I can think I know because of a song I heard. And the majority of the songs are old covenant.
Uh-huh.
They're not accurate. Or they got a partial truth. There's a few out there that are right, but most of them are not. They try to rhyme something, and in the process of doing that, they are not accurate. So it's important that we know the word so we can recognize that. I can't base my spiritual life on a song. I can't do it. It won't work. Even though God surrounds his throne with worship, and it's important. The highest worship is to take his word and walk in it. And walk that love walk. That's the highest worship you can walk in. Because it's him. It's him himself. And we're in communion together with that. I may or may not be with a song. You know, or I may just have a praise song, which is about God. That's not to God. Worship is to God. Personal, one-on-one. There's a big difference. Now, I'm not trying to make this complicated. But if I'm going to be accurate on the Word, I'm going to have to be in the Word. If the Word is going to come up in my life, I have to be in the Word to do that. I have to acknowledge it as absolute truth, absolute life. I have to govern my life with it. It has to be first place. When I put the Word first place, I've automatically put God first place. God and His Word are one. And He will never do anything opposite of His Word. That's why it's important for us to be accurate when we pray. I pray the Word. I confess the Word. The biggest part of my prayer time is confession of the Word, not asking. I ask, then I confess the Word. From that point on, it's thanksgiving because He heard me.
Amen.
And what Jesus is saying here, and the reason He puts it this way, He's saying, I want you to pray my will. See, if I'm living in Him, abiding vitally united to Him, and His Word is abiding vitally united to me, our wills are one. I want what He wants. He's communing with me. So when I ask, I'm asking in according to the Word. I've automatically asked what He wills.
Amen.
He never changes. His Word never changes. If I ask according to His will, He's not going to say, well, not now, once you go through this a little longer. No. You may go through it a little longer, but it's not because He wants you to. There's a process involved. A process. Everything is a process. We see suddenlies, but that suddenly wasn't a suddenly. There was a process going on all the time that we didn't know about. Suddenly,
Amen. It
manifested. We got to remember, these seeds of the Word are moving from a spiritual kingdom into a natural kingdom. That takes time. It takes process. The seed always takes the process. There's always a process in the seed. You never plant it and boom, there's the flower. There's always a process. That's why you have the abiding Word. Because you've always got a harvest coming. Because you're constantly putting it in. You're constantly receiving a harvest because you're constantly putting it in. I planted this seed a year ago. Now it's harvesting, but I planted another seed the next day, so now the next day I got another harvest, because the process is complete. If I'm being continuous and consistently constant, I've always got a harvest coming up. But it's not the same seed I planted that day. It's one I planted earlier. Mm-hmm. And I've been keeping watering by having it abiding in me. That's what Jesus is saying. If you abide vitally united to me, live in me, we are one. That's number one. But then I still can't do much because I'll do what I can. But I can't do much until there's a seed of the Word abiding vitally united in me, in you. To where we, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and I agree on this Word. We're agreeing on this Word. He's focused on the Word and I'm focused on the Word. So the Word's going to come up.
Amen.
Our will is one. Now sometimes I don't know what to choose. But the Word says in Psalms that He would teach us how to choose.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's part of that abiding Word. If the Word is abiding, He's using the Word I know to teach me.
Amen.
Even some of the words I hear, and they didn't register at the time. It didn't register. I heard the Word. I listened to it. It bypassed my mind, but my spirit caught it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's neat. She don't like it, but I like to go to bed with the Word on. When she's not at home overnight, I'll stick the Word on, let it play all night long, because my spirit never sleeps. And actually, if my mind is not alert, it bypasses that completely and goes right into my spirit. So that's why you can play the Word with somebody in a coma,
mm-hmm.
and they hear that Word. They say, don't talk negative around a person in a coma.
Wow.
Their spirit hears you.
Yeah.
They don't hear you, but their spirit's constantly alert. It's constantly communing with God. So that's why it's so awesome that we can do these things. If the Word's abiding, then the Word can come up. And it will not just lay there. If the Word's abiding, it's going to bring harvest.
Amen.
And the neat thing about it is, with God's seeds, it's a continuous harvest.
Amen.
The plant doesn't bear one harvest and then die. It's continuously bringing harvest.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that is so awesome.
The trees on the river of life in heaven bear 12 manner of fruits every month.
Every month.
We just keep doing it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about that, but yeah. I couldn't quote it. But that's in heaven. So now let's go down. We are to abide in him, and his word is to abide in us. Both are our choice.
Yeah,
our choice. John 15:16, this will be the Amplified again. I love this verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Hallelujah.
I love that. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. I have planted you. I like that. You see yourself as a plant? We are. We got born again. God planted us.
Amen.
We're supposed to bear fruit. That, okay. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, I have planted you, that. So this is why he did it. That you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain, abide, so that, his reason he done that, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. This is what I command you, that you love one another. Is that another thought, that last verse there? This is what I command you, that you love one another. Is that a separate thought? Most people read like he's talking here, and now he's changed his what he's talking about. No, that's the fruit.
Amen.
Love is the fruit that he's talking about there in those verses. The fruit he expects us to bear is our love walk. It's because, why? Because God is love. As he is, so are we. We are love. We're love creatures. We were created by love, for love, to love.
Amen.
And when we got born again, the same thing happened. We again got created, recreated by love, for love, to love. As he is, so are we in this world. The fruit that Jesus is talking about here, that the reason we're supposed to abide and to live together is to bear that fruit.
Amen.
Most people read this as the fruit is all the people getting saved. That's not the fruit. That's a result of the fruit.
Amen.
Yeah.
We have the fruit. They pick it, need it. But the fruit is love. People getting saved is part of it, but it's not the fruit. It's a result of the fruit.
Amen.
See, they see Jesus in us. We present love to them, which is the fruit. They partake of that love. They get born again. We don't realize how vital love is to us. It's vital. Love and the Word work together.
Amen.
That's the activator. Everything that God spoke, every promise, every commandment, Old and New Testament, every covenant is a love issue. Okay, our love walk and the abiding word are the determining factors for fruit bearing. Say that again. Our love walk and the abiding word, working together, are the determining factors for fruit bearing. No love, no fruit. No word, no fruit. No love, no word, no fruit. That's the way it is. You will have a fruit, like I said earlier. You'll have a fruit from the seed you're sowing. But you will not be sowing God's seed. You'll be sowing the devil's seed. And there will be a harvest from that. So you're always going to bear fruit. You're always going to bear fruit based on what's abiding. If the enemy and his thoughts and the world's thoughts are abiding in your heart, that's the fruit you're going to bear. You can't blame the devil for it. You're allowing it to bear.
It's just like a God, and I'm seeing that more and more.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Our hearts, our spirits are gardens. Our minds are gardens. Our mind's going to respond to what I put into it. It's not supposed to be in dominion. It's supposed to be subject to the Spirit.
Right.
But if I'm not spiritually minded, if I'm carnally minded, I can't hear my spirit. Mm-hmm. And if I did hear it, I'd reject it. Because my mind is at enmity with it, or they're at odds. They're not going the same place. One is death, one is life. So if I'm going to bear life fruit, then I have to be in the Word to bear that fruit.
Amen.
And I have to walk the love walk to do it. It doesn't mean I'm going to succeed 100%. It means that I'm going to have to exercise my faith to overcome those weaknesses.
And it also means in those disappointments, I don't have to be disappointed on my own. Anything that I feel and it concerns me concerns the Lord.
It sure does.
Absolutely.
And He understands that.
That's why He says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Well, how do I do that? Just like you do anything else. You cast them on Him and lead them away. You don't go back for them. Yeah, and when they try to come up, and they'll try to come up because the enemy's trying to pull you away. Mm-hmm. Remember, the word's his enemy. If he can't pull you away, you're getting harvest.
Amen.
He can't stop the harvest. Ooh. God will not stop the harvest. We have to stop it. And he knows that. Satan knows that. The only chance, the only thing he has is deception. The only way he can stop the word is to get us to stop it.
Yeah,
we have to abort it. We have to agree with the doubt. We have to focus on the problem. We have to agree with the problem. He wants us to apply our faith to the problem. That's what worry does. If he can get me away from hope in the word, which is earnest expectation, I expect the word, I believe the word, I'm controlling my love walk, I believe this, I'm staying here. If he can't get me to start doubting in some way or to slow down and stop, if he can't do that, then he can't stop the promise. It's going to happen. The only thing he can do is to get me to agree with him in some way. And we think we're just agreeing with the circumstance. After all, it's the running hypogonus, and nobody's ever been cured of that. You know, so we start looking at that. Instead of looking at the word says, by his stripes you were healed. It included the running hypogonus. So it included that. So if I can't focus on that, if I can't focus on the word, he'll be successful in moving me away. If I'm going through a circumstance or a situation and I've got a regular Bible study time that I do, double up on it. Spend more time in it. Turn something off. Spend more time in the word. In the New Testament, unless guided by God otherwise. Because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. Actually, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is not part of the New Testament. It is in the Bible. But they are pre-cross. The New Testament is post-cross. A lot of things Jesus couldn't do because he hadn't went to the cross yet.
Yeah.
And you're not revealed who you really are except in the epistles. So if you're going through a circumstance or a situation, spend your time in the New Testament, in the epistles.
Yep.
And referenced by the others. Hallelujah, that's a little side thought. So anyways, if he can't move me away, that promise is coming to pass.
Amen.
Because it is absolute life, it's absolute truth. It cannot be changed. Even if he moves me away, the promise is still the same. It's still absolute life. Is still absolute truth, even if I don't abide in it. See, so that's the only hope Satan has, is to get me to turn my own promise off. Our love walk and the abiding word are determining factors for fruit bearing. A major hindrance, and possibly the number one hindrance, is our lack of walking the love walk, because faith works by love.
Amen.
So I can be putting the word in, I can apply what I call my faith to it and have a love issue and it still won't work.
Right.
So Satan aims primarily at our love walk. He aims there primarily because he knows if he can get me in strife, anger, fear, worry, strife, living in the past, if he can get me anywhere there, he's going to hinder that word from coming to pass. But if he can't get me to abide in those things, that promise is coming to pass, that I've activated. I have to activate the seed before it can bring life. I activate it by my faith, powered by my love walk. So I have to always, we should always be aware when we're doing something that does not line up with the love walk. Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Usually Amplified. Because it explains what the love walk is. And what you have to be constantly on guard on. Galatians 5, 6, Amplified Bible says this concerning these hindrances. For if we are in Christ Jesus. So that word if is there. That verse starts with the word if. So that ought to be, there should be flags flying and banners going off and orange lights going off back and forth. Galatians 5, 6 should be like a neon sign going off. Caution, 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 caution. Listen, 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 pay attention, pay attention. That's what that word if should be doing when I hear it. So this is a conditional word. If we are in Christ Jesus. So it's a qualify here. I'm saying I am. Okay? Or if we are in Christ Jesus, that's what the other ones say. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. What's it saying? The law doesn't count for anything here. It's talking about the law. It's talking about the Abrahamic covenant, the old law, being circumcised or uncircumcised. Uncircumcised, you are not part of the covenant. Circumcised, you are in the covenant. You are Abraham's child. That's what he's talking about here. So he's dealing with the law. For if we are in Christ Jesus, if we are, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. In other words, we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. But is another word you got to pay attention to. But only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. The King James Version just says, faith worketh by love. Same thing. The Amplified is just qualifying that term. It's, faith is activated by love. It's energized by love or powered by love. It's expressed by love. So there's an action there. And it works through love. So in order for our faith to be activated, for our faith to be energized, for our faith to be expressed, and for our faith to work, we have to guard our love walk. That's what it's saying there. Faith works by love. In other words, it won't work any other way. If I've got a love walk issue, then I've got a faith issue. And if I got a faith issue, I got a word issue. And the promise won't come to pass. God will do what he can. A few faith accidents here and there. But I can't use it like a tool, like a mechanic uses a tool. So I have to be constantly aware where I'm falling short on my love walk.
Amen.
If I want to bear fruit. I mean, otherwise, why pray? If I don't want an answer, why pray? As a teacher, if you bring me a problem, I'm responsible to answer that problem the best I can as a teacher. I keep hearing Mother mention it. Well, she says, sometimes people just want to talk. That's fine. If you want to talk, talk. But if you tell me the problem, I'm responsible to the Father as a teacher to try to get an answer for that problem. If you don't want an answer, don't tell me the problem. Some people don't want an answer. And I may not have the answer, but I can't just let it lay there. I can't do that as a teacher. As a pastor, you can't let it lay there. If you're in a fivefold ministry, whatever your fivefold ministry is, you find out something related to that, you become responsible to the Father to find out what you do about this. You can't just let it lay. If you want somebody to talk to, that's fine, but I wouldn't want to talk to anybody if I didn't want an answer. You're telling me the problem, so apparently it's a problem and you want an answer. I mean, that seems, to me, it makes total sense, but some people don't like that. They want to just talk. Mm-hmm. That's okay, but what are you doing?
What you're doing is griping, pretty much.
But that's what you're doing, but what are you doing? You're rehearsing it. You're focusing on the problem. If you want to tell me the problem, ask for the answer or bring the answer. And we'll agree with that. Now our focus is on the answer, not the problem. But if you just want to talk, your focus is on the problem. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you believe the problem. If you didn't believe the problem, then you wouldn't want to just talk about it. Your hope and faith is in the problem. Whether you think it is or not, that's where your focus is. And it shouldn't be on the problem. I'm not saying ignore the problem. It's there, like David acknowledged it. But he didn't focus there. He didn't focus on the problem. He focused on the answer. He immediately, after he said where he was at, all the time he's talking to God, immediately after he acknowledged where he was, he acknowledged where he's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what we do. We're not saying it don't exist. We're just not focused on that. Mm-hmm. We're focused on a higher law, which is the Word, which is absolute life and absolute truth. There's a promise somewhere in that Bible concerning every circumstance and situation of life. Even those that didn't exist back then, they're still there. It's still in there. The principle's there.
Amen. So
it might not, yeah.
And I think, too, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God,
yes.
Same thing does talking about a problem. There's nothing wrong with talking, but you hear yourself.
That's right.
Yes.
You hear yourself saying it over and over.
Yes.
Whether
uh-huh.
you know or not, you're hearing. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then what does hearing yourself and others
uh-huh.
continue?
You are
going to
believe yourself before you believe anybody else.
Right. Okay.
And that's why you don't want to even by yourself when you're by yourself. I wish that old guy hadn't done that. I tell you what, every time I see him, he does that. You can't do that. You know what? The next time I see that guy, he's going to see love in me. He's going to see love in me. Well, that's what you need to do. You're not focused on the problem, see? You're focused on the answer to the problem. You know, you may still have trouble what you see, but your mind heard you say that, and your heart heard you say that, and you acknowledged the truth. So now the next time, even though you want to get upset with the guy, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you. What did you say about this the last time we talked? You know, so, and the more you do that, the stronger your faith gets. You're correcting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing yourself do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we do this. You're taking those thoughts captive.
Mm-hmm.
And now that seed of the Word has fertilizer on it.
Amen.
It's going to grow fast because you're doing something with it. You know, I've struggled with that person all my life, and now they're dead. And I never forgave them. But they were certain omniocus. No, that's not what you do. Even though they're dead, you still forgive them.
Uh-huh. You have to.
For your sake. Because the Father cannot forgive you. It affects you. You have to walk in forgiveness no matter what the issue is. If you want your harvest to come up. If you don't care either way, why pray? If you don't want an answer, why pray? That's why I always ask myself that. Do I want that? What did I just say? Do I really want what I said? A lot of things we say we don't really want. Because it's not what we want. Every time the running hypochondriac comes along, I wind up sick with it. Do you want that?
No.
What are you going to get?
Mm-hmm. What you said.
That's exactly what you said. That's exactly what you're going to get. Why? Because you said it, you believed it, you applied your faith to it, and now you've got a harvest coming for it. Satan gave you the seeds, you just took them and spoke them. And you didn't do anything about it. You didn't take that seed out of the ground before it started germinating. See, it's up to us. All Satan has is a bag of seed and deception. That's all he has. God is life. The Word is power and authority, and all creation comes from the Word. Everything adheres to the Word and bows its knee to it, but only if I use it.
Amen.
You know, we have to realize I'm involved in everything God does.
Amen.
And God will, God and His Word are one, and He will act on His Word. I have to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to work together. Man fell and separated, so man has to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus paid the price, but man's still not back yet.
Mm-hmm.
Man has to agree with what Jesus did, receive what He did, and walk in that as a new creation.
Amen.
We're not under the curse of the law anymore.
Hallelujah.
But we can still live under it based on what we say and do. Next time you get a checkout counter and you get mad at a price, no matter how high they're getting, or you're getting mad at the guy in front of you or the checkout person, or they cheated me, repent of that quickly, because that's not the love walk. Mm-hmm. You're focused on the problem you got here, not on the answer to it. The answer is always a love walk, and it takes time to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can't get mad at yourself when you fall and when you slip. Get back up.
Go on. Just get up and go on.
Get up and go on. That's what my Lord told me one time. I actually, he told me what I was telling one of my kids. You know, how you're speaking something and it's actually for you. I told one of my kids, I said, God's not looking at how many times you fall. He's looking at how many times you get up. And it went off of me when I said that. God doesn't look at how many times I fall. He knows I'm going to.
Thank you, Lord.
He looks at how many times I get up. And he'll either reach his hand out for me to help me up, but he won't take my hand. Mm-hmm. I have to take his. I have to draw nigh. Mm-hmm. Because it's not love otherwise. It's slavery or bondage. So I need to remember that. Okay. I have to quit here, but the setup next week. If we are not walking in love, our faith will not work. Without our faith, the word cannot be activated. Without our faith, the word will be dormant and unable to bring forth life or fruit, even though the life and the fruit are in the seed. Mm-hmm. It can't do it without my faith.
Amen.
My faith can't activate without my love walk.
That's right.
So where do you focus? Your love walk. Mm-hmm. And that's where Satan's aimed at too. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You have a pattern way of behaving that you have, however old you are. I'm 71, so I've got 71 years of practice of reacting certain ways. And you'll do it every time, unless you do something about it.
Right.
Now I have to practice a new way. And praise God, I'm born again. I know Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm in the Word. The Holy Spirit's teaching me. He's teaching me how to respond in a different way. But I have to do it. He empowers me. He strengthens me. He gives me the knowledge and the wisdom. And if I walk in that, I'll avoid so many problems.
That's
you know
right.
How many problems we set up for ourselves by simply being angry and upset and focusing on the circumstances? Mm. That problem that I'm focused on never stays just that problem. It's related to other problems. But if I don't focus on that one problem, then those other ones never come up.
That's right. Amen.
Because I'm not focused on this one. Same way, if I focus on the Word, then a whole bunch of other things are connected to that.
Yeah.
And I avoid all those other things that were not supposed to come up.
Amen.
God didn't put them there. I did. Satan put them there. I responded and activated them. Mm-hmm. But if I do the opposite of activating the circumstance, if I activate the Word, then that's going to take me around a lot of those problems
yeah.
and shorten the ones that I'm going through.
Amen.
Because God's working.
Hallelujah.
The Word's working.
Hallelujah.
The other ones never even get planted because they never got activated.
Amen.
We'll pick up there next week. That old clock, I wish I could throw it out, but I can't. Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You for the time we've had together to share together. We thank You, Father, for the life that's in the Word, for teaching these things. But Father, we don't want to just hear them. We want them to be active in our life when we get out in the real world. We get away from this place here and get out in our daily life. That by Your Spirit, You'll bring to remembrance the things that we've heard. That You quicken us and strengthen us to walk in these things. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You for the service that lies ahead. We ask for ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.